Welcome to the Family Express podcast, where our destination is resilient and connected families. Come aboard with your hosts, marriage and family therapists, Catherine DeBruin and Rhonda Evans, to explore the world of emotionally focused family therapy, a model developed by Sue Johnson and colleagues. Together with our guest speakers, our travels will map the EFFT landscape, highlighting lessons learned, shared fears, and the passion and curiosity that bonds our community.
Welcome back to another episode of the Family Express podcast with Catherine DeBruin and Rhonda Evans. We are here today with Catherine Stavrianopoulos, professor, therapist, and mom. Catherine is here today to talk to us about launching teenagers into that young adulthood time, that college time. She comes to us as a therapist who works with these families who are launching teenagers, and as a mom herself. She has two sons, and she has actually done the program called Hold Me Tight, Let Me Go, which is a program for parents and teens who are at this moment in time where the kids are leaving the home. So, Catherine, we are just so happy to have you here. Welcome.
Thank you, Rhonda. Thank you, Catherine. It's really nice to be here with you.
Thank you. Thank you. We're happy to have you here.
Thanks.
So let's just start out talking a little bit about where do you start? Like, where do you, when you meet these families in your office, where do you start with them?
So I typically see the parents alone, just to kind of get a sense of what is the presenting problem, the presenting issue. And I'm not surprised. Typically, the families that come to me usually have a complaint about their child's behavior. They usually say, well, they're not listening. My kiddo is not listening, and I don't know what to do. Or they're hanging out with their friends too much, and they're having a lot of influence from them. So I see them for, it depends, maybe one or two sessions. And then I meet with the teen individually and alone and confidentially to kind of get a sense of where they think the issue might be. And of course, right, I frame this in a way that the parents want, you know, something is missing here, something is going on, and the parents really just want to understand more. They want to help you as their child. Because the truth of the matter is that most of these teens, they feel like they are a misunderstood species.
Hey, Kathy.
Yes.
Kathy, I'm so glad you're presenting it this way. And by the way, I have some audio background, so I'm not going to be as vocal today, listeners. But I just have to say, when the families come to me with exactly that same presentation, and when they do, I'm anxious at the onset. And I'm thinking, these are teenagers, they're about to leave your home. I get that these behaviors are hard in the household, but how much impact am I going to have? And I think I just feel the parents' angst, you know, even as we begin. Like, there's so much urgency, it feels like, in the system to bring change.
Yes, I agree. I feel the same thing. I feel the same angst. But I'm also there to help them. So we kind of, you know, start from there, start seeing the parents and then talking with the teenager.
All right. So even when the parents are there and they have this complaints about their kid, you just kind of settle into your role as a helper. You just lean into that. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, lean into that and do a little psychoed. I really, you know, believe in that, in terms of letting them know about teenagers and about the teenage brain. And I think maybe for us therapists or people that are in the field, some of us might know more or less about the teenage brain and how different it is from adult brains. But a lot of the parents don't know the differences. And the truth of the matter is that the teenage brain is not fully developed, right? It doesn't develop fully until the the teenagers, well, they're not going to be a teenager at that point, but they're mid-20s. And at this time, if they are in high school or even when they are in the beginning years of college, we only have 80% of the brain that is developed. The other 20% is not. So the brain also develops from the back to the front. So the frontal lobes that are responsible for executive functioning, that are responsible for decision making, that are responsible for understanding consequences, are not all fully on board. So it would make sense that you know, parents might talk to their kids about consequences, or they might talk to their kids about, you know, remember to text me or call me when you get here or there, or be careful when you're driving. And then parents say, well, you know, it goes in one ear and out the other. Well, with a not fully developed brain, that is something that should be expected and anticipated. So if the trigger for the parent is they're not listening to me, and then, right, they want to control that, they want to, you know, be, they get angry, they get frustrated, they, you know, they want to punish. The trigger needs to be known that it's not the kid's fault, right? This is the way that nature is working for them for right now. So if they're aware of that, maybe they can do something different. Maybe they can have a little bit more compassion for their teen and look
so
at
Kathy,
themselves.
Can I yes. just jump in there and say that that's really good information? And it helps me kind of sigh a little bit, like with relief, because it's also our entryway in empathizing with the parents.
Yes.
Like we can say, literally, you're right. You're right. You're working so hard to explain this to your kid, and your kid's brain just isn't grasping all of that. And how frustrating that must be to you, like something
exactly.
like that.
Yes, exactly. How frustrating is that for you? How irritating that is for you? So then you try harder, right? And when you try harder, you get angrier or you get more irritated or you know, want to control more. And, you know, really is, you know, can we also kind of look at, you know, what lies beneath the problematic behavior here?
Because that really goes to the meaning making, right? Like, is my teenager just being defiant and not listening versus are they only able to capture, you know, certain bits of information at a time?
That's right. That's right. And a lot of parents, right, the meaning that they make is that their kid is defiant or there's something wrong with them or that they are not a good parent. Right. They are not doing something right. There's something wrong with them that they can't get through to their child. So then they beat themselves up. So there isn't compassion for the teen, but there isn't compassion for the self either.
Oh, wow. OK, so I'm just trying to like track what you've already put out here, Kathy. So let me see if I can track this. So the families come in, the parents have this angst, it's a complaint about the kiddo, the teens feel like a misunderstood species, you're going to lean into your role as a helper, you're also going to lean on some psychoeducation about brain development, and by leaning into that, almost like a reframe of the focus, right, taking away
yes.
the focus away from this you know,
problem.
how the problem, you're actually going to take and reframe it to brain development, which like as Catherine was saying, is our entryway to empathizing with the parents' frustration about this repeat cycle that them and their kiddo keeps getting caught in.
Right. Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
And,
right.
And then even a step further, Kathy, which is to focus it on what is that like for you as parents and what does that mean to you in terms of your parent role? And so you're able to take it into the parent's intention to be a good parent, but also the fear and the helplessness they might feel when they don't feel like they can impact the kiddos and raise kids, right, who are listening or know these things.
Yes.
Wow.
And that's a big piece right there, the fear that they have about their capability, their capacity to be able to impact and influence their kids.
Wow, that is so amazing how getting caught in this cycle takes the parents to a place of, am I good enough? Am I doing enough? Do I have an impact on my kiddo? Can I make an influence? And they begin to question that because they see this repeat cycle happening, and it gets more and more frustrating. And more frustrated they get, the more they feel this place of, am I really doing a good enough job? And they just find themselves getting caught there.
Right. Exactly.
That's really exquisite. Like, and clearly you have a lot of experience doing this, that you can so quickly go from the focus being on the child's behavior to the process and then to the parent's intention. How are you able to do this so well? And talk to us a bit about your clear empathy for the parent piece.
Well, I think it comes from, you know, from me being a mom and having survived, I feel, the teenage years. I mean, my boys are now older. They are 24 and soon to be 21. So I've been there. I've witnessed that. I've created the memories and survived all the mischief and the struggle. And I can see the light at the end of the tunnel, right? It is them kind of walking through a tunnel right now. And I know that with some assistance, they will be able to get on the other side.
So you've been there, you've done this.
And you can tell us there is
light at the end of the tunnel.
Yes. I want to share a story, if I may.
Of course.
About my older son, Stephen. He's 24 right now. And I remember very distinctively when he was 14 years old, that was the time that we as a family would go away on the weekends to our, you know, weekend home. We would go skiing and snowboarding. And we had such wonderful times and cherished memories. And one day, all of a sudden, when I said, oh, we're going away this weekend, he said to me, I'm not coming. And I just froze. I'm like, what? He's like, I'm not coming. I said, well, why not? He says, well, I'm going to hang out with my friends. I said, what do you mean you're going to hang out with your friends? He goes, Mom, I don't want to come with you and Dad and my brother. I'm going to stay home and I'm going to hang out with my friends. And I said, absolutely not. You're not going to stay home and hang out with your friends. And he's like, I don't understand why. So he's getting upset. I'm getting upset. I'm trying to convince him otherwise. And he says to me, well, I don't know why you won't let me stay. I'm a good kid. I've never done anything wrong. I've never gotten into trouble. What do you think is going to happen to me? And I lost it. I totally lost it at that point. But I was able, right, to take a distance from the situation. And then I'm like, my goodness, like, what is happening for me? And what I realized was happening is I was losing control, right? I was the mother, right, who was feeling I had the perfect family. I could go away with the kids and hubby every weekend or every other weekend to go skiing and snowboarding. And he was resisting it now. So I was losing control. I didn't have an impact on him anymore. I didn't have an influence on him anymore. He'd rather be with his friends. So there was this part of me that was scared, that was sad, that he was growing up, that things were beginning to be different perhaps right now. And there was nothing so bad about that. It was about me. Like, I had to come to terms with that. And he, as a teen, was exactly where he was supposed to be. So I went back and I said, listen, I said, I overreacted. And, you know, I'm sorry about that. I just got a little bit scared because I'm realizing that you are growing up. And maybe you want to be spending more time with your friends and not with us. And that just makes me sad. So he was able to hear that. And he was able to say, you know, I understand. and, right, this is important to me. So we were able to come up, you know, with some rules and some understanding, and it turned out very, very differently than it would have if I would have imposed my expectations on him because I was in fear that I was losing control of my son and the family in general.
Wow, that sounds like every parent's worst nightmare, but it also sounds like in that moment, you were able to, like you said, get some distance and be able to look inside yourself and ask yourself, what is happening to me? And it sounds like you were able to access your own fears and sadness around your relationship with your son and what it means at this moment as he's 14 and he's leaning into friendships and leaning away from mom. What a hard moment.
Yes. Yes. Wow. And that's something that I do with the parents as well, right? I think that's really important to help them become aware of their own mindset. As parents, what are they imposing on their kids? How is this impacting their connection with them? And how do they impose their agendas to their children? Can we take a distance from that and really do some parental digging in there?
Yeah, as you say this, Kathy, I'm just thinking about how, you know, up until those, you know, 13, 14 year old time, it's I really do have an agenda as a parent. I really do. You know, I am holding so many roles as a parent right up until those teenage years. The role of teacher, of coach. And I really am trying to impart so much onto, my son is 4.5 right now. I really do have an agenda, and it would be honestly kind of feels like an earthquake in my body right now as I think about the agenda will shift and there will be a pivot that is waiting for me at some point. And it, as you tell that story, it kind of sounds like that earthquake moment was happening for you of the agenda is shifting. My role as a parent is shifting. Do you resonate with that?
Yes, absolutely. The earthquake moment. I love that. That's exactly what it felt like a seismic shift was happening.
Yes.
Totally. And it's easy, right? When the kids are little, you can just pick them up from here, lift them there, put them down. Right? It seems so much easier. And the older they get, right, then the agenda begins to shift. And it's kind of shared. It's not only our agenda anymore.
Right.
It becomes their agenda too. So how ready are we as parents to kind of co-create that agenda?
Wow,
you guys, this is amazing to hear. And Kathy, you know, you've really lived this, and I've seen it with families with teenagers that if we don't understand the developmental level of the teen and what's important, it can get easy to not make space for that growth developmentally. And you've gone all the way to like launching children and working with lots of families, right, who are launching their kids off out of the house or into college. How do you see, like, what is important for teens to learn? What are they meant to be able to develop to be able to stand on their own two feet and to be able to go through like a college launch successfully?
Yeah, I think the really important thing is to know that they are going to be loved no matter what their mistakes might be, and that they can come right to their parents when they do make those mistakes, because they will, right? They will, especially if they're off to college, they are going to make mistakes. And you can teach them never to talk to you about their mistakes, or you can let them know that you are going to be there, you're going to be present, and that you will try to understand them, right, and love them and have compassion for them and advise them and guide them from there on. So that everybody, I think, and especially teens, they need to know that they are understood, that there's going to be effort in understanding what is going on for them, because they all struggle with something. So I think that's really important for them to know that, you know, I can make a mistake and I shouldn't be afraid to go to my parent and help me fix it, right? Or get some guidance or get some support from there. It actually reminds me of a lesson that I learned from my second son when he was really young, actually. He said he came home from school and he had done something, I don't know, he had gotten in trouble. And like a great mom and an awesome therapist, I shamed him. I said, "What?" I said, "I can't believe that you did this." And he turned around and he said to me, and I'll never forget this. He goes, "Mom, I am going to get in trouble. Either I can come and tell you the trouble that I got into, or I'll never tell you anything ever again. I would rather like to be able to come and tell you." And he was, I think, 8 or 9 years old. And that's something that I took with me. I'm like, oh my gosh, I think everybody needs to be able to come to their mother and tell them what they did wrong and get their support or their guidance or their feedback or, you know, whatever the child is looking for, right? The understanding at minimum and compassion.
Wow, Kathy, that is so profound. And you have me reflecting on my mistakes and my mistakes as a kid. And so I think what this brings up for me is that secure base, is that they can go out into the world and explore and have some successes and then fall down and scrape their knee, get into trouble, and developmentally, again, still come back to me as mom, as parent, and say, "Hey, yeah, this thing happened to me and I want you to know about it." And that I've helped create that secure base with them in the younger years, and that it just continues on in a developmentally different way, but still there in the teenage and in the launching years. That's so profound.
Yes, yes, indeed. And then sometimes, right, when they come to us with their mistakes, especially if they're far away, especially if they are in college, there is this possibility, right, that we, yes, we can help them and we can support them, but then we can also feel bad that we didn't prepare them better. There's also that piece there too, that, oh my gosh, we've launched them, you know, they weren't prepared well enough. I didn't do a good job telling them about A, B, C, or D thing. And now the parent kind of gets tough, right? And unforgiving of themselves because they didn't do a good job as a parent preparing their child. And that's something that we need to be aware of when we're working with, you know, these families, with these parents, how to have compassion, you know, on them selves too, because we can teach them everything. It's mm-hmm. good enough, right? It's good enough what we can teach them. And then they're going to make mistakes and there's some learning and some growth that needs to happen, you know, on their own without us teaching them and giving them everything.
Thank you so much for sharing your personal and professional stories. And as you're speaking, I do see this image of us standing behind the parents and helping them maintain their emotional balance as they are looking at their young, then teenage, and then college or after school kids who keep growing and developing. And it's like, as soon as the parents figure out all the rules change, right? And parents just need so much support in preparing for the future and working through the regrets of the past, but ultimately in just being emotionally regulated so that they can deal with the present and see their child in front of them accurately and respond to them in those moments.
That's
like,
right.
It's quite a feat. And the parents, right? I mean, that's our role, right? Is to really come in and resource this family system, but mostly from the top down, I guess.
Yes. Exactly. Question, be curious, have compassion. about what your child is telling you, try to understand them, and really kind of look at what is beneath this problematic behavior that you are seeing as a parent, and that might be annoying you, angering you, irritating you, right? Is it that they need, that they don't have the information? Is it that they don't have the skill? Is it something about their self-worth, right? They're afraid to say something or do something because they feel that you or the parent, right, is going to reject them or judge them. Just stay open and curious.
So if you have a family in front of you and they say, hey, I'm launching my kid to college or to after school work, they're leaving the home like in the next year or two, What are some of the things that you want to help that family establish in order to launch a child well?
In order to launch a child well, it would be this ability, right, to be for the child, for, you know, for them to say, go, you are going to be out there. I trust you. And I'm also here for you when you need me. Can they have that conversation? Can they be able to communicate that, but not only with words, but really embody it for their teen? And does the teen trust them?
As you're saying that, like, you could probably just have that conversation in the therapy room, right, with the whole family. Like,
yes.
Let's try to create this kind of a base before you leave.
Yes. Exactly. And what is it that the teen needs? What has worked? What are they happy with their parents? And what might be some things that they, you know, wish they had more of in terms of care, in terms of, you know, feedback? I remember when I did the Hold Me Tight, Let Me Go with my boys, the feedback was really interesting. Actually, they both said that they wished that I had been stricter about them learning Greek and going to Greek school. And I hadn't been. When they said that they didn't want to go anymore, I had said, oh, okay, so we just kind of quit Greek school, because it was a lot for me to be doing homework and following up and taking them and picking them up. So I gave up. And that's something that they had never articulated before. But during the Hold Me Tight, Let Me Go, that was one of the, a little bit of the resentments that they had. So, you know, what are our kids kind of holding on to? You know, we think that maybe we've done a pretty good job, and maybe we're not even aware of what they may have needed more of. Can we open up that conversation now in the therapy room and kind of repair it going forward?
Wow, this is kind of blowing my mind. That is such an explicit conversation to have with your teenager, this feedback of what do they wish they had more of and what do they need. I got to be honest, like, I never thought, I don't know much about the Hold Me Tight, Let Me Go, Kathy. I want to be transparent about that. But that is just blowing my mind that we can have that conversation so explicitly. And I'm really curious, like, how did that work for you with you and your sons, like having that, what was it like to be so explicit about that?
Yeah, it was interesting. It wasn't something that I knew or that they ever had shared before. To me, I thought that, wow, you know, they said at, you know, 10 or 11 or 12 that they didn't want to go anymore. And I said, okay, you know, fine. So it kind of was, it blew my mind a little bit, and I was, you know, surprised. But, you know, they told me, I don't think I apologized at that point, but I was trying to kind of explain, you know, what they had said to me,
right?
But it didn't really matter, right? They weren't so interested in that. They just said, well, you know, we wish that you had, you know, knowing now, because they were older, they were like 19 and 20 something when we did the Hold Me Tight, knowing then what we know now, we wished that you would have pushed us a little bit more. It's not too late, right, to learn Greek now.
Sure.
But it would have been nice, right, to have learned it, you know, like 5, 6, 7 years ago, rather than struggling to learn about, you know, the language, the culture they know, they're, you know, in it, but to know the language as well. It would have been easier for us now. And it was interesting that they both kind of agreed on that part. It was something that the two of them, right, had talked about or thought about, and I had no idea. I thought it was just, you know, I made their wish come true and okay kind of thing. So it's interesting to be able to really kind of become curious and not be defensive.
Yeah.
And not, you know, really say, oh my gosh, you know, I feel so terrible that I didn't do that. It's just like kind of a matter of fact, you know, I'm giving you some feedback here. Can you take it? And you're like, wow, you know, this is interesting. You know, how can we make it different now? Is there an opportunity for you if you're interested to learn this or to do this? Can we figure out a way to do it now? And it turns out that there was, and they did it. But I would never have known, right, if we didn't have that conversation in that workshop that we had done.
I just think about, you know, our parents are always our parents, no matter how old we get and how old they get, our parents are still our parents. And that relationship becomes, I think, even more dynamic the older we get and the more we become young adults and adults. And I just think starting that process off earlier, this explicit feedback conversation about what do I need more of and what could be different between us, and starting that earlier is just a really healthy model for how to grow attachment and how to keep those lines of communication really open and loving and fostering that curiosity. I'm just really leaning into what you're saying, Kathy, and thinking about how I would work with that with families at even younger and younger ages, you know, as it's appropriate, of course, developmentally.
Right. It's a completely different way. It's a completely different mindset to be able to train, to work with families, because it doesn't come from a hierarchy from top down, right? It's more of what I was saying before of a co-creation and, of course, right, developmentally appropriate. But if you have teens, right, they're getting a little bit older, they have needs, they have interests, they're beginning to get curious about themselves, about their identities, right? Take that in, ask them, right, from that place of curiosity, together you can come up with what they need, explicitly hearing from them rather than you offering and doing what you think is right for them, right? Coming with from your agenda and not including their agenda, for lack of a better word, right? Their needs,
right,
their desires, and what they want, because they do want and they do know. And maybe they just need us, right, to be able to come alongside and ask them that with curiosity, wanting to understand them. And then they will open up. Then they will share with us in an explicit way. And I think that's the piece that, you know, sometimes or many times kind of lacks in families, that we think that we are solely responsible for our children and we know best, right? We have all the knowledge and the experience and the expertise, and we're going to tell them what to do because they just have to do it. And if they do it, they meet the expectations that we set for them, then we are going to feel good as parents. You
right.
know, then our self-esteem, right, goes up. Then we feel, well, you know, we've done a great job. And then if we don't include them, right, then there is these toxic patterns that that develop eventually.
Yeah.
Maybe even from the start. So it's kind of like a tricky balance there.
Yeah. I just think what you're saying is so important, because I think it speaks to, like I had said earlier, like I've got a 4.5-year-old, so my role is like teacher and coach.
Uh-huh.
But what you're describing, this co-created agenda, is now I'm moving into my consultant role, right, in those teenage and young adult years, and I'm setting the process up for, hey, this is how it's different now. I lean with curiosity. I ask, what are your needs? What are your desires? And then we co-create this thing together. And that to me just speaks to what a consultant role is I don't know best. I'm not going to take the lead on this. I need you to lean in too and be a dynamic part of the process. Mm-hmm. And then what a beautiful thing that we're modeling, because now they can take that process and they can replicate that with their peers at school, away at college, their sports mates, their coworkers, their partners in the future. And they get to experience how to co-create a relationship as opposed to it being, I tell you what to do. And that's just the way it is. We have ability to model that. Thus, we have the ability to still influence them into their future.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you can even do that at, you know, you're talking about your 4-year-old. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, the image that I get is a 4-year-old coming to you with a little picture that they drew. And our first instinct as parents is to say, oh, my God, that's so beautiful. That's great. So we're giving them the feedback. But what if, right, we kind of become curious and say, what does this picture mean for, how do you feel about this painting that you did, right? So right. Again, leaning in with curiosity and co-creating that from right there, right from the beginning, that they're not looking to only us, right, our validation alone. What is it that they're feeling? And then we can kind of do this together. So you're giving them that baseline from very early on, that it's a together thing.
It's a together thing. I love that. I love that. Well, maybe this is a good place for us to end for today. Just to end, was there anything else that you wanted to put out there to our listeners? Anything else that you wanted to share with them?
The last piece of advice, and I think I said it throughout, is stay involved, stay curious, especially for teenagers, right? They're not going to take your advice because that's just how their brain works. But you need to be there. Only if you're there and you are present and you are connected with them, they will listen. But if you're not there, if you're not involved, if you're not present and you're trying to give them advice, then that's 100% guaranteed that they're not going to listen to you.
Maybe this is the title for our episode, is staying involved and staying curious.
Staying involved and staying curious. Yes.
That's fantastic. Catherine, thank you so much for joining us today. Can our listeners find you anywhere? Is there any social media or website that you have?
I don't have a website, but they can find me. They can find me on Instagram at Kath Stav is the handle, or email me at kathstav@gmail.com.
All right. Nice and simple. Easy to remember. Okay. So, Kathy, again, thank you so much for your wisdom and for your time today on behalf of Catherine and I, who stepped out a little bit earlier. Thank you so much for joining us. And we look forward to more episodes coming your way about working with families and where families struggle and where they get stuck and how we can come alongside them in that process. Again, thank you so much, everyone. Have a great day. Talk to you next time.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
That's it for today, folks. Thank you for listening, and we hope to see you again for our next journey.